Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome to the after show on AfterBuzz TV for the second to last episode of this season of The 100, The Chosen. Guys, it's crazy. We're going to space. So much happened. So many people are about to die. We can't wait to break the whole thing down for you. People are going to die, and we're going to talk about it. We'll see you in just one second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh yeah, if you're on audio, you can't see us lip syncing this.
I know, so they're like, what?
What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're talking about The 100. We're listening to Elton John. We're not gassed up, but they're gassed up in the show.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It was sad. It was a sad episode.
Yeah.
It did what this show does best, which is kill hundreds of people at a time.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what The 100 is all about.
Right, yeah, it's where we started.
Life and death.
In the very beginning of the show, I don't know how many episodes into season one, when the original The Culling happens, it was the first barometer of like, oh, this is just a TV show, they're not going to kill everybody.
And they did.
And they killed everybody, and it's like, oh, wow, that's how this show works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys just murder all the innocents. That's the thing that happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're back to doing that, guys. This is AfterBuzz TV. We're talking about The 100. There's only one episode left of this season. Season 4 has been very up and down, but there's been some really fun episodes recently. We've got the full panel in studio. We've got Alexis Torres back.
Hi, guys. I'm getting there. My voice is still kind of gone, but I'm, like, working on it. But you guys can find me all over the interwebs at atorres890.
And just in case you guys missed her, we have another brand new panelist. Please introduce yourself, madam.
Hello, guys. I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Twitter and Instagram and all those other social medias at Natalie Dyer.
Sweet.
Welcome to the panel.
Thank you.
And you guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter or Instagram or Anchor, I guess. But Twitter and Instagram are probably the best places to find me. And we're going to talk about The 100 now. So, 364 deaths incoming. That's the thing. It looks like that's really going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we're going to switch around now and get the back end of that. I think they're all just going to die, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't really see any way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't... Getting out of it wouldn't really seem very characteristic of what this show has become.
No.
And the arcs, no pun intended, of all of the various characters now, it kind of seems like people have settled into their roles and it's, you know, we're settled in. Like, Octavia is now the queen of the grounders. She, like... legitimately runs Tree Crew now.
Which I know that you must be really happy because you've been pining, well not pining, but like you've been like pushing Octavia up there to like...
I've been calling that for a while now.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Eventually that was going to happen. And now just like seeing her walk down the hallway like that and Indra's just like, we defer to you. You know, she's like, what'd she say? Your orders. She just looks at her.
Right.
I was like, wow. She's like, Indra defers to you now?
Yeah.
You're like legitimately, you're the boss.
You've surpassed your mentor.
The circle is complete.
But it makes me so happy because the fact that, again, we talk about it like every after show, but the fact that from what Octavia was from season one to now is such a huge jump.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me so happy to see her this way.
She's really become like the sweetest character. And the funniest part about her and the best part about her was that they teased us with her going away with Ilian for an episode on a horse.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like so great that they did that. They were like, oh, we're going to just show you that her arc's changed. She's dropping her swords and she's going to go live on a farm.
Nope.
And then she just murders all the farmers and comes back and becomes the champion and actually just leads Tree Crew. That was a great fake out.
It was a great fake out. I believed it for a minute.
I totally did too.
Yeah.
I didn't. I thought.
You didn't?
No.
You
I mean, it was cute, but like as soon as she kept mentioning that she's a warrior and that that's just how she was, I was like, she's gonna have to go back. I didn't think that he was going to die, but I definitely thought that. She would have to go back in some way, shape, and form. I thought we were just going to leave him on the farm.
This show, like, kind of never actually goes down those predictable, like, cop-out roads.
Mm-hmm.
It's exceptionally rare that it does. I think, which is probably why the Lexa death was such a head-scratcher for people. Because generally speaking, they'll take what you think is going to happen, and they'll be like, oh, you think this is just, like, a fun teen CW show? You're wrong. Everyone's dead. Or, like, you think she's going to see the error of her ways? She's going to grow up, and she's just going to not be a warrior anymore. Incorrect. She's going to murder the farmers and just lead the crew, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's pretty badass. That's pretty
sweet. She's just, these past, like, what, three episodes, Octavia's just been, no pun intended, just killing it. I wasn't trying to, I swear. But just, I've always loved her, but, like, these past three episodes really just, like, just knocked it.
We talked a lot about... the Hunger Games meets Mortal Kombat mm-hmm. episode last yeah. week.
That was intense. I had to watch that by myself, and I was yeah. like, this is a lot. I really wish I was watching it with my cohorts, because this was really sad.
It was a sweet episode.
Yeah, it was so good.
So many deaths.
Yeah.
So many deaths.
Fantastic. So much gore.
So what do you guys think about the season so far? We have one episode left. We have a very special guest coming next week, which I don't like to announce special guests until week of, just because scheduling has so many times just mm-hmm. screwed us on this. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we should have a special guest for next week that we'll announce shortly before the episode, within a day of the episode, just to be 100% on it. But what have you guys thought so far of season 4?
Go for it. I've liked it a lot. I think it was a little bit slow in the beginning, but that's, you know, that's...
It's pretty indicative of the hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's really picked up the last 5 episodes or so.
Yeah, I mean, nonstop action pretty much for the past few right. episodes.
And it has been Octavia's show for the last 3, as you said, which she's one of my favorite characters, so... Yeah. You know, I've been really happy with it.
It's really, I think they probably recognized at some point that we were all going to just get tired of, you know, Clark says in this episode, whatever choice I make, someone always dies. And it's like, it's kind of like whatever choice Octavia makes, people die too, but she's not the one whining about it and trying to save everyone. And it's, you
know, I have an opinion on
yeah,
that.
Go yeah, go for it.
Because, and I wrote it down, it says, Indra says,
I love your notes, by the way.
My notes are real fun. Indra says, Octavia says, I didn't do this on my own. And Indra says, no leader ever does.
Right.
And I think that's such a great juxtaposition, sorry, can't speak apparently, between Octavia and Clark.
Because
Clark is always on her own. Like, she pulls right. the lever mm-hmm. at the mountain, mm-hmm. and she's on her own. Whereas Octavia is like, I didn't do this. I didn't get here by myself.
Right.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I think that's an interesting point you make, and I think that's probably what makes Octavia so likable. She's just like, look, I'm just in this situation. I'm going to do what's got to be done. It's hard. It sucks, but like, I'm a warrior, so I'm not going to complain about it and cry to my mom and try to save my friends and, you know, a bunch of our. She's like, I came from the Ark, and 364 of you are going to die because that's what's fair and that's what's equal.
Right. Yeah, like I feel like she is. I mean, Clark tries to be a team player in a different aspect by putting all the burden on her because she doesn't want her team to suffer, but it's like the opposite. Octavia still wants the same, but she knows that she can't do it on her own, so she has to ask her pupils for help. And it's right. not like everybody's all on one side and then she's like, I'm gonna do the opposite of that.
Right.
So I think that's just, like, I agree with what you said. Like, I think Octavia can look at the bigger picture and understand that this is what happens. Also the fact that it makes sense. If all the other clans had to do this, it doesn't make sense for us to not do what the other clans had to
yeah.
do. They have family, too, that they didn't want to kill.
Right.
So
I know, and I think it's interesting that Jaha kept saying, like, you know, we fight.
I'm so done.
But it's like...
So I was so done. I said it on Twitter. I'm going to say it now. We said it the entire episode. Jaha needs to go. Period.
See, I see both sides of it. Because on the one hand, I'm like, all right, so if you were thinking diplomatically, like, there's 12 clans and we all get equal say in this bunker, so, like, we can't just fight to try to screw them out of what we've been promised.
Right.
Sure. On the other hand, it's like, if 3/4 of your crew are going to die, like, is it a survival of the fittest mentality for you? Or just like, look, someone's going to have to fight to keep their people alive and that's going to be us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, like, I want to save our people, and if that means fighting and losing honor... whatever, we're going to survive mm-hmm. and they're not, kind of a thing. So I see where he's coming from. I don't think it's the right attitude, but mm-hmm. I also, the alternative is like just accepting we're just going to die.
Right, well, and that comes down to is it saving humanity or saving your own people?
Right.
Yeah.
Because Clark's always like, we have to save humanity, but she locked 500 people in there when there was room for 1,200.
Yeah.
That's not saving humanity.
You're saving your people.
Right.
Like, that's not... And I think it's really funny that, like, they thought that saving humanity was by not repopulating, but thinking that the humanity of their own people was enough.
Right.
Like, what was the point in that?
Can we talk about how the Arkers are just animals and they're little...
Like...
They're I don't know how to say this without cursing.
I mean, if it happens, it happens.
Okay, they're little bitches.
There it is.
Oh, yeah,
that's fine. We can totally say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you that the fact that the Grounders seem more humane
right.
after
right.
living this kind of, like...
Yeah.
Not Neanderthal, but warrior-like lifestyle, and then these people who've been living on their own in an ark trying to be humane, it was actually worse.
Right.
Right, yeah, totally.
Well, and the Arkers see themselves as so much, like, they're like, we're the elite. We're so much more, like, civilized than these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of the Grounders are like, yeah, we've chosen our 100. We've accepted the deaths of everybody else.
Right.
We're doing this because we want a future for our people and our humanity.
Yep.
Which is totally the correct attitude. So, I mean, the episode opens up with this whole conversation of who the 100 are going to be. And it's obviously nice to wrap up in the fourth episode. You know, you get down to 100 having to be picked again. I think it's obviously some really nice parallel there, some pathos. But in this conversation about picking the 100, it starts out with, well, we save the children and then essential personnel. And it's like, essential personnel because it's the people that can operate the machinery? Yes. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
But, like, I don't know. I just, that wasn't very clearly explained.
No. I mean, to us, probably, what, essential personnel to us pretty much means our leads.
The highest paid actors on CW?
Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, at least for story-wise, it pretty much means people who we've technically already chosen. So, like, Abby would make sense because she's the doctor. Yeah. Kane, not Jaha, but Kane would be, you know, Chancellor.
Yeah.
And then you have all the people who are, like, our engineers. So if Raven was there, it would be Raven and Monty. Bellamy, because he's technically a soldier.
Well, and because Octavia picked him. Remember, he's not one of the 100.
Exactly. That's
so,
right.
So he's part of Tree Crew.
Yeah, so pretty
their
much.
Their numbers, anyway.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, for us, it's our leads. For them, it's technically people who technically, half of them have already been on the ground already, so they understand how this all works, and the other half is the adults who we started with.
Right.
Yeah.
That's essential personnel. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, because we didn't even, like, Miller wasn't even part of that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Well, and let's think about this, though. Do they really need the guards? If we're really doing essential
we don't really
personnel,
need
like, Octavia and the grounders have the guard thing.
Yeah, under control.
Under control. Mm-hmm. You really just need the people who can do the air scrubbing, the water, the hydro. I can't
remember what it was called. Yeah.
Yeah.
The plant stuff.
And that was really touching.
Farming.
When Miller's dad walks in and puts his name in for his son, you know?
Oh, that was, yeah.
I mean, we've had multiple different instances in this show where it seems like only a limited number of people are going to be able to survive some extinction event. And we've had the similar scenes of the fathers taking care of their sons, the mothers volunteering for their children. And, you know, it's really sad, but the imagery at this point, I was just like, all right, so you guys are going to die. Let's move on to the next part of the story, because, like, I've seen this happen. I mean, it was sad. True. It was sad.
No, of course. Like, I mean, not to jump ahead into, the end, but just, like, watching somebody's parents, you know, or father or whatever have to be taken out and their kids get to stay is rough.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was. It was definitely sad as at the end with the gassing. I didn't see that twist coming. Did you guys see the twist coming?
No, I didn't either.
I didn't even think about that, to be honest. Like, again, I love that the 100, like, at first it seems predictable kind of in the beginning, and then they get that one twist in there. You're like, oh, all right, okay, you got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, 100 writers.
So in this initial conversation, there's a conversation between Abby and Kane, and Abby's just like, I don't know who I am anymore. I've lost my humanity. I can't. You need to pull 81 names. I can't be one of the people.
Oh my god.
And Kane's just like, I just got you back. I love you. Right? Does he say that?
Yeah,
he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that written down here. I love you, but don't make me. What? Oh, she said, I love you, Marcus, but I've made that my decision. That's what happens. He doesn't say it. She says it.
Yeah.
It's nice that we have the payoff of their actual relationship now.
It is.
Seasons later, you know?
Yeah. It's nice. But at the same time, I'm a little peeved at Abby, mostly just because she's the doctor, and we need her.
Yeah, what? Like, come on, Abby, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, I get it. I understand where she's coming from, where it's like, someone else should take my seat. I mean, I think her assistant.
I was going to say Jackson. Couldn't Jackson technically
could have done it? But he was still in the picking, so I don't know at this point.
Right.
I feel like right?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Because he was down there with Miller, which I was like, so what's happening with that? But because I'm a shipper and it's terrible.
Have they actually given us any Jiller, Maxon? Have we actually seen anything, or has it just been
hinted
at a little bit?
Yeah, just little pokes and prods. But that's who I thought of. So if they're like, if Abby doesn't do it, and then Jackson goes too, we have no medical staff, period.
Right.
So, yeah.
Fully.
No.
Yep.
Just no.
Yeah, I was watching and I was thinking, like, what if I was sitting there and there was a lottery being pulled with names to survive? And you're sitting there thinking, like, you hear your name, what do? You're like, yes. Or are you
you stay quiet.
Everybody who got
you
their
stay
name.
Quiet.
Everybody who got their name called was, like, so sad, then immediately hugged the other person. But it's like, well, shouldn't you wait to see if they get their name called? Like, you got.
You never know, man. Might as well say your goodbyes now.
They're hugs of relief and also, like, sadness, okay?
Yeah,
because, like, you're relieved. You're like, oh my god, I'm gonna live, but also, like, I hope you do too.
You don't think there's some small part of you that would, like, silently fist bump? Like, I can survive. No?
I don't know at this point. I might just be like, leave me on the other side of this, like, bunker door.
All right, guys, I'm off the panel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all right, so this is all happening while at the same time the kids, of course, have to go on some asinine mission that they always do.
Yeah.
You know, we have to save our friends. That's what the show's about.
But it's Raven.
So, it's Raven.
It's Raven.
It's Raven. Okay.
Come on.
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you.
Come on. She's like the exception to any rule.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We need her, now that her brain is saved, we need her.
But before we go on this mission, there's the conversation between Abby and Murphy about Amori. It was just like, what a brutal thing.
You already tried to kill her once. Why are we trying to kill her again?
Seriously, right?
Let it go.
He's like, if we bring them back, we bring the chosen ones back, like, do we have a better shot? She's like, what'd she say to him? I'll do my best.
I'll do my very best.
That's exactly what she said.
What did she say to Murphy first, though?
Oh, that she would make sure that he's on the list if she did this. And then when he's like, what about Amori? We'll do our best. And I was like, Abby,
come on, Abby.
Shut up.
Just outright lie if you have to. That was the worst, you know?
Yeah. And she's like, well, think about it. Right? It was just not cool.
Yeah, but at this time, she's so tired of lying.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they get on the road to go find Raven. And they're in the car. And Clark and Bellamy have a conversation here that was interesting. Bellamy kind of calls her out a little bit, you know? You pointed a gun at me. What were you doing? You were going to just lock us. You were going to lock him out. What's the matter with you?
Right.
You know, and Clark. That's when Clark says the line, whatever choice I make, someone always dies. Mm-hmm. There's like just thematically, that's like such just in Clark's DNA now. That's like, that's part of her character. And I just can't decide if that's just like actually part of her character or that's just the way she sees the world, is that the weight of the world's always on her shoulders and that she has to make a decision and someone's going to die and it's on her. Whereas like, I feel like other people are in the same position she's in. They could step up, and they are part of the decision-making, but they don't always put the decision on themselves, and they also don't take all the blame for it.
Right, she's kind of the martyr.
Yeah.
And she loves to play the martyr card. Yeah. She kind of loves to play it. It's like, it's seriously been her move for, like, 3 seasons, right?
Yeah, and I feel like that's just how her personality is, and it's kind of always will be that way just because of the fact that she feels the need that if she takes it on, nobody has to suffer, even though technically everybody always ends up suffering.
Right.
Which is not, and it's not technically like, it's not her fault, because there are people like that in the real world who they just don't realize that that's what's happening. I mean, she's starting to realize it now, but she's trying to make up for it, kind of, by, you know, hoping that Nightblood will work.
Right. You can also say that she's gotten that from, like, her father and like the very first moment we meet her.
Mm-hmm.
She feels the need to save everybody and to do that, so it's not something she's going to, like, exactly turn around and grow out of immediately. Yeah.
Right.
And I think it'd be weird if she did.
It would. It would be very out of character.
Oh, it's like a definitive characteristic. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, they're on the way. There was no Bellark sparks here. They've kind of only barely teased it this season and, like, haven't really gone that much closer to it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It seemed like there's a lot of longingly staring, but there was staring.
Sure.
I mean, you know, he almost hit somebody because he was looking at Clark.
That's true.
So
there's also his immediate and, like, avid concern about her without her helmet on,
right,
even though she has the Nightblood.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like
a thing.
Yeah,
know,
and then when she was being attacked, too, he, like, immediately jumped on that person and killed them.
I think,
like,
you could definitely argue that they were Bellark.
Sometimes I kind of feel like they love each other like brother and sister more than anything else, though.
I don't know. Like,
yeah?
I mean, I don't know. For me, it's just because there's such that curtain of T's there. It's kind of hard to tell.
Right.
But I know that I'm just hearing all the Bellark fans screaming at this point in time. But, like, yeah, again, I mean, for me, I say it every episode. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I don't mind the foreplay. It's fine.
Let's be honest, guys. They go to space. It's how many people?
It was eight.
Bellamy and Clark.
Yeah. Yep.
Raven, Harper, Monty. So there's 5.
And then we have
Amori and Murphy.
So
and
what?
Echo.
And Echo.
Oh, and Echo would be this. That'd be 9,
yeah,
right?
No, it's 8.
No, it's 8.
All right, so literally then the couples that are, like, left would basically be either Clark and, I guess, Clark and Echo, potentially. Raven and Bellamy?
I mean, could see Raven and Bellamy, actually.
They've already hooked up before.
That's true, yeah.
For a long time.
I mean,
or it's Clark and Bellamy, and it's Raven and Echo. Or
I don't think that's going to happen.
Or they're not into that, and it's just, there's one couple that's not happening.
And or just, something else happens and they don't ever make it to space.
Right. I think that's as
that's what I was thinking. I was like, they're going to die.
But I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, if they're setting this up, if they really do go to space, and there's eight of them on a spaceship on the Ark, the chances of Clark and Bellamy actually going towards Bell-Ark get a lot higher in my mind.
Correct, because I don't think... I mean, it could happen that Bellamy could technically start falling in love with Raven again, but I feel like we would get closer to Bell-Ark.
Were they ever in love, though?
No, I think it was just... I think it was just for fun.
It was just lust. Right? Yeah. And Raven, because wasn't it when Raven was just hating herself because Finn was into Clark?
Yes. Yep.
So she slept with Bellamy.
Finn.
Bellamy, like, put his two guns aside for a second. This is in the wild, wild west of the tense days.
I mean, I thought he was going to try to do that again, but Echo might actually kill him, though.
Well, no, I was going to say, though, is the other couple up there that would make the most sense would be Echo and Bellamy, because there's clearly been some chemistry there.
But wasn't it Echo and Murphy, though, technically?
No.
I'm going to think of somebody else.
No.
Mixing it up.
Oh, that's the other lady. Sorry.
Echo and Bellamy escaped together, right?
That's right. Yeah. Who am I thinking of? From Polis.
Oh, you're thinking Antares. She's
there it is.
She's dead.
She's been dead.
Oh, I know she's dead. I was just like, I just couldn't remember, like...
The name.
Who
the
was.
Name.
Yeah, she got her skull bashed in.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
So I think if they do go to space, then I think that the chances of Bell-Ark get significantly higher.
Yes.
But whether or not they make it to space, we shall see. So on the way there, they hit this dude. Echo jumps out and saves him. What's it? They hit a person, actually. I don't know if it was a dude. They kill someone with the car.
Right.
And, so Murphy kind of makes reference to this when he's like, she was just following us. You think she was just going to help us out of the kindness of her heart? I was thinking about that. So she was waiting for them to get attacked to save them so they would owe her something, or she was going to kill someone. What do you guys think?
Hmm. I don't know.
What would have happened if no one had attacked?
That's a good question. I think she... I honestly think that she would have just followed them and then... forced her away.
I think she would have taken at least one of them.
Right. Or she would have found a way.
Yeah.
She's just like Murphy, just kind of like a more violent version of
Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Murphy was onto something. I don't think that she was following them to follow them, unless she was just trying to get to the bunker.
Right.
More than anything. Not to kill anybody, just to literally follow them to the bunker.
Right.
Right.
And I don't think she knows where the bunker is. Like, they're her map.
That's pretty much it. So she's just going to follow on her blood-ridden horse all the way.
Which was such a pretty horse.
It was a really pretty horse.
Okay, let's just stop for a second.
Yeah, just hit pause.
Appreciate that, like,
it looked like natural spots. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what a really cool... Oh, no, that's blood.
Yep.
I mean, that's okay, too. But I was like, wow.
Murphy really does love Amori.
Oh, yeah. I think we've known that for episodes now.
Which is sweet. You know, it's nice to see the way he reacted, and he was just, like, going crazy. He's like, take off the suit, Echo.
Right.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and I was fine with that.
But then Clark's like, of course, I'll be a martyr once again.
Hey, man.
Take my helmet off because I got night blood.
I thought it was going to work, guys. I definitely thought it was.
I think it still will work.
Yeah, because remember, they said that
Luna got sick first.
Yeah, and then after, what was it, like 3-5 days?
Something like that.
She got better.
I think it was less. I think it was like a few hours, actually.
No, I think it was days. She was in the med bay for quite some time. At least a day or two.
Yeah, it was at least a day. Yeah,
because, I mean, Clark wouldn't just say days just to say days.
Maybe it was days.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't remember, because episodes are weird for us, so we don't know how much time goes by.
Right.
Definitely,
Definitely people were dying, and she was the only one left.
Right, and there was the whole, like, steal the medicine, or don't steal the medicine. And
They really teased this whole Clark is going to become the commander.
And put
the flame in her neck. They, like, really went there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Octavia took it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Did Octavia? No, Octavia didn't take the flame.
No, she didn't take the flame. She didn't take the flame, but she's taken the position.
Yeah.
The flame is still out there, though, correct? Or did they smash it? They didn't smash it.
Crap. I don't remember.
Technically, it still exists.
Someone's got it. Gaia, probably?
I think
she has it back in the box.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Clark could still very easily take the flame.
Which we haven't seen her.
No. Not
yeah, I don't know where she's at. I mean, I'm assuming the actress probably has other things to do, but...
Well, yeah, you know how they do on CW. If they, like, they can get away with not putting you on screen for an episode, they just won't, so you just won't exist for an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been two.
You sure about that?
I thought she was maybe in last week's episode. She was in the episode before that. She was in a majority of 2 weeks ago's episode for The Hunger Games episode? The Hunger Games. I was going to call it the Hunger Olympics. The Hunger Games. And then we got to the bunker, and then that was it.
Gotcha.
And they were. She might have been in like the first minute.
Yeah, or something. But that was it.
But it was.
Yeah, because she went. She went back to go tell the rest of the clans and like stall, and then we never saw her again after that.
Right. So she will show up next week again for sure.
Or she might die. I don't know.
Well, the flame is significant. That's a super significant plot point. They're not going to just like. They're not just going to like leave it out there unresolved.
But I kind of sort of resolved it in that there's nobody who can take it.
Right.
Like, nobody who can rightfully take it. And that's why they had the conclave.
And that's why, and Luna's already dead. They're not going to put it into Clark. I mean, it doesn't really matter now anyway, besides the fact of seeing Lexa again.
If they did put it into Clark, what would happen?
That's not going to happen. I know that, but you know what I mean.
If they did put it into Clark?
Like, what does she gain? Like, what happens if you put the flame in you?
I don't know.
Aside from becoming the, like, acknowledged commander, does, like, get, like, some intelligence or special powers?
She would get all the commanders before her, all their knowledge, right?
Knowledge and wisdom.
That was what that is, but I don't know how that's going to help her.
Right.
She's in space.
Yeah. Right. Except that it might give her some, like, deep understanding of, like, I don't know, previous generations, what's happened to survive, like, information where something is.
I was thinking that it was going to be, Becky?
Becca's the original.
Yeah, that maybe it could get the information from the original.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that maybe that's
to where to build more Nightblood.
Yeah, and or to help with the arc.
And we don't know if Clark's Nightblood works right now, because she started hacking up a lung.
That's what I was going to say, is that who knows what would happen if they'd put that into her, because she's not a natural Nightblood.
Exactly, so I feel like as much as we would love for her to be the commander, I don't mind Octavia being the commander for now, two... I feel like there's going to be grave health consequences if she puts that thing into her body.
Yeah.
So.
Octavia is just the best. She's just your notes are incredible.
I told you, like, seriously, like, it's the best. I love that new commander, bitches. Like, that's fantastic. I don't, as much as I was rooting for Clark to be the commander, I feel like it's not necessary now.
Oh, no, I'm so much more down with Octavia being the commander.
Yeah, yeah.
If they had to fight in a death match, I would vote for Octavia 100 out of
100. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. Octavia would slaughter her. I mean, I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying that would be a thing.
That wouldn't. Actually, Octavia probably, given the choice, if she'd survive or kill Clark, she would definitely kill Clark, because Octavia's a savage.
I don't know
she's
about
a savage,
that.
And I think she still probably harbors a little bit of resentment.
Okay, that makes sense.
Season 2 incidents and... Right, season two. Yeah, when they bombed Tonda. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure,
and,
right.
I don't know. Like,
right.
There's a bunch of them.
No. There's a list. There's definitely a laundry list.
I forgot about
that.
She kind
of
hated Clark for a while.
Oh, yeah, for a good hot minute.
She probably kind of still does. Octavia, the thing about Octavia is she kind of just like exists and lives in this world, but then and she's like cool with people, and then you forget that she like still wants to kill Pike even after all is said and done. She still murders him,
right?
And like she just holds on to stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
she holds grudges pretty hard.
She's gotten better because we did have a moment in the beginning of the season where she didn't forgive Clark, but she got past it because they had bigger things to worry about,
right?
But I don't think that got resolved. No. We're just kind of like, this is happening now, and then she left, remember?
Right.
So
I think the only person that she's like officially
forgiven
is Bellamy. And it makes sense because it's her brother.
And it's the end of the world. And even then,
she held on to that for
quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now before this gassing happens, which puts everybody on the ground and then, you know, Kane to basically pick up the pieces with Jaha, like this is who we're going to save, this is who we're not. Which truthfully is actually, I think, the more humane way to do it.
Oh, 100%.
Because like... The reality is, like, if you're the people that have been running the show for a long time, you're, like, the politicians, effectively, of your world, your awareness of, like, who has the most significance, who knows what, who's the most important, you're going to probably react a lot less emotionally. Now, on the flip side of it, like, that is, like, the attitude of the people in power, so maybe that's wrong. Maybe it should all have just been equal to rebuild the world, but I kind of still am inclined to think they probably have a pretty strong awareness of who's important and who isn't, and making that decision without people trying to, like, angry mob them to death.
Ended up using Clark's list, and Clark made that list with the idea that there was only 100 in total, that like not including the grounders.
Yeah, but I feel like there's already people who probably died from that list, because remember it was when we had everybody.
Right.
And a lot of them stayed back and died at
Well, Jasper wasn't on the list, right?
No, I don't think he was.
No, I don't think he was. And neither was Monty. Really?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, I think that's changed now.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people probably on that list that were from the original that we had earlier.
Right.
They could probably cross off now.
and the Black Rain probably killed quite a few of them.
Quite a few of them as well. Yeah.
I did think that the turn on a dime was a little unbelievable from Jaha. Like,
that was weird. I didn't like that.
What was that about? He was like so intent on his plan. He like got this guy to start chanting fight, fight, fight. He goes off to get the gas, and like Marcus like was like, this is your moment.
But it's Marcus though.
And he has a beard.
He has a beard and he's persuasive. But yeah, I mean, I understood though from Kane's perspective of how he worded it.
Yeah.
It would make sense to get to Jaha. I just didn't think it was going to get to him that fast.
Yeah, it was a real quick turn. I mean, I kind of think he was a little bit in crazy mode for a second, and he just calmed him down. He tapped him back into reality a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which happens a lot with Jaha. I was going to say,
it's sort of actually Jaha's
go-to.
Yeah.
Because he's like a crazy cult leader.
He's so adamant about something for the longest amount of time, and then just one thing is like a switch, and he's like, oh.
That's why I'm like, Jaha needs to go. He's crazy. We've talked about this for seasons now. Like, this man needs to go. But at the same time, I loved
such a survivor
that Octavia brought up. She's like, I hid from you, and you floated my mother. And also the fact that he doesn't realize that we're doing
I mean, she had a long laundry list for him.
Yes,
she just didn't use it all.
Yeah, and I was happy about that because we didn't have time. But at the same time, I was upset because I was like, You sent 100 children.
Yeah, I know.
Teenagers to the ground because you didn't know if they were going to make it or not because we needed to survive. So now you're getting upset that 364 adults are all going to die? Please.
Right. Yep, I know. Survivalist stuff. So the last thing that happens is they get to this bunker. They find Raven. Raven's like, yeah, let's go to space. I can do this. She's like,
It's Raven.
It's Raven.
Yeah, she's a genius, and she's back to being the one again now, right? Because her aneurysm or her tumor, what was it that she had?
It was a brain bleed, an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Yeah, is now fixed, right?
Yes.
She EMP'd it.
Yeah.
She killed herself.
That was insane to watch.
It was
I was
sweet,
like,
yeah.
This can't be healthy, like, at all. And I don't know if that works either, but, you know.
She went, like, full flatliners. She, like,
I mean, if we're talking scientifically,
none of the stuff that we're doing, none of the stuff in this entire show would make sense. No. But especially just all of the cutting and just touching each other, it's too much. But, like, I'm very intrigued to see how they're all going to get to space in that spaceship.
Did either of you guys watch that movie Popstar, the Andy Samberg movie from last year?
No, but I heard several people yell at me several times for having not seen it.
I haven't seen it, so you're not alone.
You need to watch it. It's got this like wonderful moment where they cut to Bill Hader for a second, and he's like the roadie on the tour or whatever. Uh-huh. Bill Hader's like one of my favorites. And they're interviewing him, and he's like, yeah, I got really into this thing last year. It's called flatlining. It's where you reduce your heart rate medically to the point that you're legally dead. He's like, I got the idea from the film Flatliners, directed by Jan de Bont. It's just like so stupid. I was like, Raven's flatlining. That's what she's doing.
I mean, it cured her apparently. So yay. Good.
She's like in the ice cold water, and she's like, gah!
As she's like dragging her. Oh my god,
it's savage. Yeah.
It's insane. But yeah, I'm very intrigued to see how. I mean, at least according to the preview, it looks like it's not going to be a peaceful way to get up to space. But we're gonna get there.
So I think we should probably jump directly into predictions here to figure out if we actually are going to make it to space.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So question number one, guys. Are they going to make it to space?
I'm hoping so.
You think that's going to be the story, is we're going to have a group in space and a group on the ground in the bunker?
I mean, I'm hoping that there's a time jump. I'm hoping that we're not going to just continue right off of... They got here, now what kind of thing?
They're going to go 5 years later.
Yeah. I hope so.
If they make it to space, I hope that's what
happens. Yeah, yeah. If they make it to space, my prediction is they got to do the jump because I want to know what happens after.
And you have some flashbacks in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plenty of it, because then that's plenty of footage that you can use for the entirety of the thing. Maybe some people will change. Some people will get together. It's going to be interesting. Some people might die.
That could be pretty cool, actually.
Right,
that's
a good idea. Actually, I think, sounds really nice.
Yeah, I think it would just... I just think it will cut all the time out, because if we start from, like, straight up from, like, the bunker and from...
Right.
The getting there, I feel like it's just going to be a slow start again to the season. But I feel like if we do the 5-year jump, we'll get to see if maybe people got to hook up and maybe there's some babies. I don't know.
A baby, right?
I want a Kane Abbey baby. Just saying.
A little cabby baby.
A cabby.
But it'd be very interesting because I also want to see, I mean, since apparently Jaha might live, we don't know. Or maybe he won't. I don't know. But like, I want to see what happens with him. Clearly, he's going to be raising another kid.
Yeah.
Since he lost Wells late in the game.
Can we, like, find out if he doesn't screw that one up?
He's adopted the child. I think they're going to make Jaha live, and he'll be raising that kid.
I mostly just want to see Isaiah Washington and everything, but, like, I'm tired of crazy Jaha. If we can just have dad Jaha, I'm fine with that.
Maybe this is, like, finally the redemption moment. It seems like every season he, like, has his crazy and his redemption, but I kind of just want him to go back to being, like, you know, basically the poor man's Denzel Washington for the sake of this show.
Oh my god!
For like, I mean, no disrespect, because I think he's a great actor. I just mean like, I kind of want him to have the redemption arc that you would expect Denzel to have in this role in this movie, and him to like really respectfully raise this child and like be a great father, and like that's his new character, is that he becomes this really likable character.
I mean, he'd have to be completely demoted to like janitor or something.
Yeah, but that's fine.
I would be okay with John, the janitor.
I would too.
He's been the chancellor, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm done with him trying to run anything, period. Even when it's a cult. Like, I'm done with it. Like, we don't need it. We've got Kane, we've got Abby, we've definitely got Octavia.
Right.
I agree with Renji in the chat where he's like, maybe Octavia and Nyla wouldn't mind, you know?
I was like,
I'm into that. Especially because Clark is busy being a spacewalker, so, I mean.
Right. We didn't talk about Nyla and Clark's scene last week at all. That's like one thing that we it's one thing we skipped, and I noticed that in the comments somebody, or maybe somebody tweeted at me about it. I didn't think it was super relevant to talk about. I thought it was just like a comforting moment. You know what I mean? She's like, get in. It was like, nothing like significant really happened.
I mean, I liked it just because the fact that it showed that even though she wasn't exactly happy with the decision that she did, because the fact that they, you know, tried to kick out a bunch of people and tried to survive without telling anybody.
The entirety of Nyla's people.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but the thing is that she was still forgiving and just like, come here. I know that this is hard for you. Yeah. I mean, I'm not happy with your decision, but because as a partnership, you know, and a relationship, she's going to support her lady no matter what.
Right.
Even though, sadly enough, Clark wasn't there to not rescue her, but help her in her time of need.
I kind of wanted Octavia to just like slit that dude's throat that was like
I thought she was.
It kind of seemed like the move for her, just like, I'm going to assert myself. I command this. Like, I chose to give you a chance to live. So if you mess with my people and you start fighting, I'm going to save her. You're just going to die. Anybody else want to test me?
Yeah, I wanted that as well. Although at the same time, it might
so bloodthirsty
be more indicative of her becoming like an actual commander, you know, a leader. In that you don't just slit people's throats who bother you.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, true. I mean, again, I think that my question for you guys was, if Octavia went through with killing everybody, let's just say.
Yeah.
How do you think she would do, psychologically wise?
Oh, she'd go nuts. She's not gonna, she wouldn't be able to. She's not equipped to do that.
Okay. No. I was just curious to see if you guys would be like, maybe that's like her, because we did see her as a stone cold killer for a while, or for like a hot minute where she was like, I'm just going to kill anything that moves.
Because she was, but she was bottling all of those emotions.
Correct. And then she had that one time where she was running very slow motion in the not the rain, but, and she was crying. So, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was just curious to see, because I feel like Indra had her back either way.
So let's, any other predictions want to throw out there before we sign off? I'm going to say, I do think they make it to space. Actually, now that I think about it, the more and more, I think that's the most likely scenario, is I do think they're going to make it, and I think there will be a time jump. I think that's about as, like, spot-on a prediction as I could guess. I can't see them finding a way to not go to space at this point.
No.
I don't really want to see everybody just back on the ground. I don't want to see everybody just back in the bunker. It seems better that they would go to space. That would create this, like, new storyline.
You have to have the time jump.
Yep.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're right. Like, that's the only way they can go, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a strong prediction.
And it might even pick up when they're trying to figure out how to get back to Earth.
Yeah.
Like, it'll pick up, it'll be a full circle, as in season one, when they're like, we have to get back, like, we have to go back down.
Yeah.
And is it safe? Do they know? Because is the bunker and the space station going to have any communication? Because they didn't.
Hmm.
Yep,
the mountain and the Ark never had any.
So, some people in the chat are saying that they might have posted something about a time jump. Possibly. I'm not going to confirm that yet, but that's what they're talking about in the chat. I'm going to block spoilers for now because obviously we haven't seen the finale yet. If they did post it or if they say anything in an article, we don't want to see it because we're only talking about today's episode. We'll talk about that stuff next week.
Next week.
So, just as a forewarning, we're not trying to be mean or anything like that. It's just that, especially for people who are watching later, we shouldn't talk about it.
Yep.
We should only talk about the episodes that are airing currently. If they decide to do like a press release or something like that, we'll definitely all cover it here. I think we should just stick with that. Cool with everybody.
Yeah. That pretty much wraps it up for me. Do you guys have any other thoughts on this episode or what you think is going to happen for next?
No. Yeah, I'm just really excited to see how this finale's going to take
place.
It's
going to be super sweet, yeah.
Because, oh, I actually had a question. I know we're wrapping, but, like, do they just, are they going to be knocked out the entire time? And then they're just going to die? Or do you think they wake up and then suffer? Oh. I know it's a terrible, I know it's a garbage thing for me to ask.
They wake up and suffer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I just wanted to know.
It's going to be super disturbing. We're going to see them from outside for a second.
I don't think are. I think we're going to skip it. But I just wanted to know because I was like, how long is that gas going to knock you out for?
Or if it's like everybody instant. Everybody inside is going to hear it.
Oh, God. I know that's like, what the that's CW like, would totally that, do yeah. that to us. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, torture Abby and Kane and all of them a little bit more before they just let them go.
Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you guys want to follow along in the conversation, of course, follow each and every one of us on Twitter. Alexis, where can the folks find you?
You guys can follow me all over the interwebs at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. Definitely check me out on a bunch of after shows and on Jedi Alliance on our sister network, Popcorn Talk. And I'm also working for another podcast company called Trendpunk that's going to be releasing on June 4th. I'll be doing a reviewing movies and also doing an adult podcast called Batteries Not Included.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Well, thank you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and all other social medias at Natalie Dyer, NataleeDyer.
Sweet. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Be sure to download Anchor.fm. It's Twitter meets podcasting. I do one about Magic the Gathering and one about action movies. It's super awesome. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, guys. We will see you same time, same place next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.